Mark Lightman, Director of Business Development and Marketing for the Propane Education and Research Council.
Mark, let's talk about propane and this program. For one thing, all this is run through a checkoff. Explain that.
Yes, we have a checkoff. So 0.4 cents is collected on every gallon of odorized propane. We use that for three things: research, safety, and training programs. And within our law that allows us to establish our checkoff, we have a commitment to agriculture. So we must spend a certain amount of our funds on the ag market. So we're constantly looking for new technologies to invest in, trying to find a new application for propane in agriculture, or take one like a grain dryer, for example, and make it better. So that's a lot of what we do with our funds.
Let's talk about propane power, because you do have an example in the booth here at Commodity Classic. You have a rather hefty example of some irrigation power that can be run on propane. Let's talk about that and the switch. How quickly are people switching to propane as far as power is concerned?
Well, last year, you know, we saw large numbers of farmers adopt propane engines. It was a very good year for propane in general. The reason, the key driver, was the price gap between diesel and propane. So farmers were taking a look at that diesel price, you know, getting up over $3, approaching $4 in many cases. And, of course, you know, propane was very attractive, so they moved over in droves. Happy to see that. But the propane engine, it's important to remind people, it's not a new thing. It's been around for a long time. The technology and what's different today is the fact that we have a lot of electronics on the engine, not complicated electronics. We're talking things similar to what might be on an automobile. But very simple electronics that actually make the engine run a lot more efficient. So the new engines are about 25% more efficient just because of the electronic controls, keeping the air-fuel ratios in check and really, you know, helping us extract a little more work out of each gallon of fuel.
And you do have some non-scientific information that might bear that out.
Yes, you know, we had about 150 farmers participate in a program last year called our Farm Incentive Program. And of those farmers, they actually reported to us that they used 36% less fuel when they switched to a new propane engine from the old engine that they were using. And of course, the cost of that fuel, because propane was cheaper, was actually a 57% savings in total fuel costs. And again, that was a mix of propane engines that were replaced and diesel engines that were replaced. But it's an astounding set of figures, really, because it just shows that there are a lot of inefficient old engines out there. And by upgrading, you can see a pretty quick ROI when you move to some of the new and latest technology.
And you did say an incentive program. Is there still a possibility of a producer taking part?
Yes, there is. You know, we have a pretty healthy incentive program. We got 219 farmers to participate last year. Our goal is to do even more this year. So we'd love for farmers to take advantage of our farm incentive program. You can learn about it at agpropane.com. Apply in just 5 minutes. But you can buy things like an irrigation engine or select grain dryers through the program, receive an incentive of up to $5,000, and all we ask the farmer to do is record some data on the performance, the fuel consumption of that engine or that grain dryer, etc., for the course of one season, and then report that back to us at the end of the year. And it helps us, you know, give feedback to the producer of the equipment, and also, you know, make improvements to it as well.
And I've saved this till last, but people are so interested in and affected by what happened here in the coldest part of the winter, and that is that spike in propane prices. How did that come about?
Well, really, it was a lot of things. If we go back to last fall, we found ourselves with a pretty large crop drying demand. You know, probably five times our analysis tells us more than average. So we had a huge crop drying year. We followed that up without a break. We wound up with a pretty cold winter, a winter that's 10% colder than what we consider to be the average. So we've used a lot of extra fuel keeping houses warm and buildings warm all throughout the country. Now we add to that, those two things probably in and of themselves wouldn't have been a key issue for us, but we actually had some pipeline challenges as well. So moving the product from where it's produced and where it's stored to where we want it to be became a little bit harder to do. We also had rail cars that were repurposed, hauling other petroleum-based or crude-based products where we're producing a lot of natural gas and crude oil in the U.S. and Canada. Those things were repurposed and not available. So as you can see, I'm stacking up a lot of little things here that created the metaphorical perfect storm, if you will, that caused a momentary spike in price. And the good news is we're on the downward side of that for sure. You know, what we're seeing now is, you know, things are returning to a much better state of normalcy. and we're taking a look at the infrastructure and trying to figure out, you know, where can our organization, you know, perhaps even invest in ways to improve things so we're better prepared moving forward.
So perhaps from what was learned in that experience, it may not happen again.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you know, this was the largest grain drying year since 2009. So, you know, if those events happen every 5 or 6 years and they're coupled with, you know, an extremely cold winter, which, you know, this might be the coldest one we've seen in perhaps 20 years, you know, when the data finally, the smoke settles, so to speak. But when you stack those two together, I think we're going to find ourselves better prepared to handle those extreme years. And definitely, you know, our industry's gonna step up and make some additional investments in key areas, and of course, the whole natural gas industry that's producing so much more energy right here at home is gonna find more ways to use it at home and better ways to transport it as we move forward.
And once more, how can people learn more about this?
Well, they can visit our website at agpropane.com, learn about the Farm Incentive Program and other things that we're doing, and quickly apply for that program in just a matter of moments.